Last night I used the text from Luke chapter 2, and I want to read it to you again this morning. This is a familiar Christmas story. I was thinking last night when I was reading it, I felt kind of like Linus on the Charlie Brown Christmas when he stands on the stage. And because last night we had the lights were all down except for up here, and Linus reads, Charlie Brown wants to know, what's Christmas all about? What's the real meaning of Christmas? And Linus said, well, I can tell you, Charlie Brown, what the meaning of Christmas is. And then he read pretty much the same text I'm going to read to you tonight, or this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, I want to talk to you, the title of the message this morning, we didn't do notes, just the way things are going on the screen, but the title of the message, and I didn't really title it till this morning as I was looking over things, is More to It Than You Think. More to It Than You Think. You know, as I said, I hope you had a good Christmas, and I know we give gifts, and last night we were speaking about the gift that God gave, and I want to talk to you about that. But you know, sometimes, did you ever get, or maybe this happened to you this year, but maybe in life if you're older, if you ever get a gift, you wasn't real sure what it was when you got it? Huh? Something like today, right? No, I don't know. I got something one time, and I still, to this day, I don't know what they are. I kept them for years, so I wasn't sure. They kind of looked like suspenders, but they just really didn't work out just right. And my mom and all was trying to figure it out. You know, you get them ones, it was from one of my aunts that usually always gave me socks. So you know how that works. You knew what they were before you opened them up because they just wrapped them up without the box. But I got these things, and they looked kind of like suspenders. They had these little clips in that. We kind of thought maybe they were something that you put around luggage to keep your suitcase from popping open when you went on a trip somewhere. I don't really know. I just put them in a drawer. I never used them because I really wasn't sure what to do with them. And they were red, white, and blue kind of striped-looking things. I wasn't sure about it. And that happens sometimes. You get something. And, you know, nowadays, they got all these technical things, technical gadgets out there. I went in Best Buy the other day, and I kind of like the technology and all. But, man, it's going so fast. I was walking around and, like, looking at the stuff. I didn't realize they had stuff that would do what it does. You know, I'm not even sure. You know, I'm looking, man, it'll do that. You can do that. Man alive, you know, you could go in Best Buy on a field trip from school and just have somebody take you around and show you what everything on there will do. That you're going, wow, man, I didn't know that we could do all that with these things. And, you know, they got a lot of, I noticed they got a lot of abbreviations on stuff. You know, like, you know, you all these lettering and everything. You got the HDMI and the HDR and the high res, and they got, like, you know, forward slash with some more abbreviations on there, and it'll LDDSS. And, you know, I'm thinking, man, I mean, I had to have my phone out Googling it up. You know, what does this mean? You know, and it would tell you that's modern technology, right? The phone told me what this thing would do. They got a thing on, like your phone has this, if you don't know what it is, you know, modern phones. People got phones. I know most of us don't use half of what's on our phone. I had some of the guys in here one night, and I had the football game. It was showing it on the, this is before church now. It was showing the game on there live on the thing, and Paul and a couple of them said, man, maybe I got that on my phone. I don't know. And so we looked and see, and your phone has a thing, it's called NFC. You know, and when I NFC used to mean National Football Conference when I came along. That's what NFC. This means near field communication. If you don't know what that's, the little doodad where you can take your phone and me and you can bump phones together, and I can give you my pictures or any information, or vice versa. You can do NFC. You got that? You know, so you got all these abbreviations, and you know, you got to sit down and read. And that's what, see, all afternoon I got planned out. I got my Christmas gifts, but I got to sit down and read the instructions for the rest of the afternoon to figure out NFC, this, that, and the other thing, every little abbreviation that goes along with it, and to understand the technology, you know, that they have out there. And so, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, we buy stuff, we read or look it up. We've got to do that if we're going to figure out what all those things will do. And with our phones and a lot of this technology, there might be a lot more to it than we think or know if we don't look up, you know, look this information up. So you'll see how that'll play into the message this morning. You know, I was looking, I think it was night before last, the Grinch That Stole Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas came on, the old cartoon when got Boris Karloff doing the voices and that. And I like to watch him. I watch Charlie Brown. I got it on DVD. If you didn't get to watch Charlie Brown, see me. I'll help you out. I got it on DVD. You can watch it. But The Grinch Stole Christmas was on there, and I wrote down, it's the story's told in rhyme, and this one little part of it, it fits into the way I want the message to go today, and it goes like this. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small. Now this is after the Grinch had taken all the presents. Let me get you up to speed. He's got all the presents. Him and his dog/reindeer has dragged it up to the top of the mountain. And he thinks that he has stolen Christmas away from all the Who's down in Whoville. It said, every Who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presents at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came. Somehow or other, it came just the same. And the Grinch with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. You know, I thought about it. The title's wrong. It shouldn't be How the Grinch Stole Christmas, because as we found out from that excerpt there, he didn't steal Christmas. He found that out himself. That's the whole moral to the story. It should have been How the Grinch Tried to Steal Christmas, but it didn't work. It didn't work, and I got the title. Maybe there's a little bit more to it from that story. And so, you know, when you think about Christmas itself, maybe there's more to Christmas that even we realize, even those of us that have been saved a long time and we know the real meaning of Christmas, maybe there's more to it than we even realize, or maybe not that we don't realize that we do. We know all the things. Most of you are going to know all the things I'm going to tell you this morning. But we didn't put it all together as being part of the gift that God has given to us, you know, that first Christmas. And, of course, once we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know, Mary and Joseph, I mentioned this last night, they had a special revelation from an angel, an angel of God. I mean, I was mentioning that. That would be a gift in itself, that an angel appeared to you in bodily form and spoke about something. I mean, that would be like, wow, man, you ain't gonna believe what happened to me. And you run around and tell everybody about it. That would be exciting. And of course, the shepherds did as well. And that was an exciting thing. And so that would have been a special gift in itself. And then they received a child. And I spoke about this last night, that, you know, just a child. A life, a body there, a soul, a spirit, a human being, the gift of life in this child. And, you know, and all the parents understand that special relationship, that gift that you receive as a child. And what a gift from God, and brings joy to the home, family, the friends. Everybody's excited about that gift. And but when you think about the gift that God gave, and I mentioned this, God gave Mary and Joseph, they received a child just like everybody else, but that was also God's gift to the world, that Jesus was God's gift to the whole world, this baby Jesus. And so there was a little bit more to it, or a whole lot more to it. Let me say, not a little bit. There was a whole lot more to it than wrapped up in this gift than the average baby that parents receive. The shepherds, they received a visit, and they were told, they said, "For unto you," I have that underlined in my Bible, "For unto you is born a Savior." You know, "unto you is born," not to, you know, "to you specifically was born a Savior." And so there was a gift to them as well. You know, so Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, Mary's cousin Elizabeth, and Zacharias, her husband, and others had all received special revelations about this baby Jesus, what and who he would become, who he was. But, you know, I don't believe, and at the end it says Mary kept these things and she pondered them in her heart. But she didn't fully understand everything about that child. You know, I think the cross was still, they didn't see that. The suffering, the death, and the fact that he would be the Savior of the world. Mary herself was going to have to trust her own son for salvation, for forgiveness of her sins, all those things. So everything, even though they had the revelation from the angels, they had received the baby Jesus as a gift, they still didn't understand everything about that gift that they received. And more too, a lot more would be revealed to them later. And you know, and it has been revealed to us through the Word of God. But to know what's in the gift, you know, what we have to do. You know, I got instruction books laying all over the house right now that goes with these different things. I got to figure. I said, don't get them mixed up. I'll be mixed up. We got an instruction book. Amen. All about the gift that God gave us, Jesus Christ. But you know what? Don't do, listen, men are world famous. When you're getting ready to put something together, you chunk the instruction book out and think you're going to get it all put together, and at the end you got four or five nuts and bolts left over, you don't know where they go, can't figure it out. Don't do that with the Word of God. Don't think you can't get by without reading the instructions. You got to read the instructions to find out. There's a commercial on TV, y'all familiar with this? They're advertising, somebody might have got this for Christmas. I'd like to see, if you got one of them, I want to see it. I want to see how it is. There's virtual reality things that you put on them goggles, and they got some of them, they, like your phone goes in there or something, and they showed it. Anybody get that for Christmas? Oh, come on. Huh? You tried it? Yeah, did you? How was it? Yeah, I said, you know, they showed the people, put them on there, and the guy, and one guy, he's like Hispanic, he's going, and he's reaching out there. He's trying to get it and all that. And then some of the people are like laughing, they can't believe it. And one guy's saying, man, you got to try this. You got to try it. Everybody seems like they really, really are enjoying that. That'll be the hot Christmas gift next year, folks. They're really enjoying that thing. And, you know, people say, man, you got to try it. You got to try it. They really get blown away by this one gift. And they want people to come and see and check it out. You know, and I think the same thing, listen, about the, you know, when we the more we find out. Because see, if you have something with a lot of technology in it, and you don't know how to use it, you can't tell anybody about it. You can't use it. You can't do everything. And you can't get anything out of it. You know, and here we've got the gift, Jesus Christ, and we've got God's book, God's instruction book, the Word of God. And if you don't read this book, if you don't understand the Word of God concerning Jesus Christ, you're not receiving everything from this gift in your life that you could have and enjoy and use and you know, and just have your mind blown away to where you're thinking, man, listen, you got to come. You got to try this. You got to try this. That's what I like. I mean, when we really understand, you don't have to have a soul winning course 101 and get the preacher to coerce you every which way under the sun to get you to go out and be a witness for Jesus Christ. You're just going to take, man, you got to come and see. You got to find out about this. That's the exciting thing about it. So the points I want to use today, just some of the things that are wrapped up in the gift that God gave you. You'll know, I mean, you understand them, but I don't know if you always equated them to the gift as a whole. Think about that. One of the things that, the one thing we see is love. You know, any gift is wrapped, you know, love is wrapped up in any gift, should be, or you would think it would be. Everybody gave your loved ones gift, and they gave you gifts, and, you know, that's what that's all about. You know, we understand that. But, you know, God gave his only son. You can't comprehend him. You know, we could sit here all day and try to comprehend the fact that God gave his son. And, you know, we knew what all that entails. I mean, his life here on earth, he came to heaven and earth, and then we knew about the cross and, you know, and all that, and the scourge and all those things that God gave his son. Listen, none of us would do it. None of us would do it if we had to give our only child away. If we had to give, we had 10 children, we had to give one away. We couldn't do it. You know, think about it. So we could think about that all day. And, you know, we see about the love of God that when he became a man and he willingly went to the cross to pay for our sins. I said last night that they would comprehend that love a little more 33 years later. You know, they would understand, those shepherds and Mary and Joseph, the love that God had for them when Jesus died to pay the penalty for their sins that day. And but, you know, when you start thinking about what all, like I say, the inner workings of just one solitary gift, what this meant, that God gave his son eternal life. Eternal life. What a cloud. You know, the older you get, and like I say, you keep weighing out, you know, if you got more in front of you than you got behind you, and looking around, most of us here probably got more behind us than we got in front of us years-wise. You know, if there wasn't eternal life, I mean, it'd be a miserable life. You know, you understand it, but you just keep thinking about this eternal life that God gave us, eternal, that we're going to live forever. Because that's the big deal about with man. That's the thing we fear, is death and dying and this world coming to an end, our life coming to an end. We're worried about that. And man throughout the ages is looking for like the fountain of youth so you can drink that water or whatever and you or get in it, whatever you had to do with it, and you're going to live forever. Or you're looking for Shangri-La, the perfect place to live, and you know, you want to get your body froze. The science now, they're going to freeze you until they find out a cure for what ails you, you know, which old age is what ails a lot of us, and I don't think they got a cure for it. You know, they're going to freeze you, cyrogenics, I think they call it, something like that. And, you know, so that's man, why are men always looking for that? Because that's the big fear. You know, that's what we want, eternal life. Well, you can have it. It's no problem. Jesus Christ, man, Jesus Christ, the answer to the problem, we got that. A home in heaven. Man, we're not even going to understand all this. Oh, you know, the Bible says just very little about heaven. I mean, we know about the streets of gold, pearly gates, and, you know, this and that, river of life, tree of life, those things right there. It's virtual reality. You'll never match it. I mean, it's going to blow us. We would stand around in about 10,000 years probably with our mouth hanging open in heaven just looking at what we can't believe it. So that's part of a gift that we're not going to open that fully till the time comes. One day we're going to have a new body. Thank the Lord. Huh? Won't corrupt. No pain. Won't be nobody going to the emergency room when worship service comes. Huh? On Sunday. Won't be no pain, no tears, no death, no sorrow, no suffering. And then listen to this. You can't comprehend this. This is part of the gift that goes along with it. You'll be able to live. We'll be able to live a sinless life. Amen. You can't even comprehend it. Because even though you may not be in gross physical sin, our minds are so corrupt. Once all that's taken out of our mind, what are we going to think about? Boy, think about that. So we've got all that. God, this is wrapped up in the gift. Able to live a sinless life, a sinless thought life, a sinless physical life. Live in a world that's unaffected by sin. It's going to be unbelievable. All that's wrapped up because of the love of God in the gift that he gave us. This is what he wanted us to have. There's hope wrapped up in that gift as well. You know, the hope of that heavenly home that we just spoke about, the hope of fear being removed, uncertainty being removed, all those that word hope carries a lot of things with it. It's not hope like I just hope it happens. It's hope that I know it's going to happen. I'm looking forward to it. That's what that means. Hope of seeing our saved loved ones again. When we get to heaven one day, there's going to be some folks up there that were saved that went on ahead of us, and we'll be able to go and we'll be able to share with them. We're looking forward to that. This is what God says. This is what I got. You know, in other words, talk about the gift that keeps on giving. This is it. Jesus Christ. Constantly going to be things in the future that we haven't. That's why, see, I don't like to open my Christmas presents before Christmas. Like, I knew what two of them were. And I said, I'm waiting. Now I got up at 20 minutes to 5, you know. I was up at 20 to 5 tearing into them, but I didn't open them up before Christmas morning, see, because I just, you know, I like that anticipation part of it. I know it's coming. And boy, look, we got a lot with God, with Jesus Christ. We got a whole lot to anticipate, man. We ain't opened up to half of it yet. I mean, we're going to be tearing, huh? We'll be tearing the wrapping off of these gifts for eternity, what God has for us. And so, man, what a lot of things wrapped up in this one gift. You know, some gifts, you think about it, some gifts you kind of, you get them and either they might be seasonal. So, you know, you might get it at this time of the year, but you can't use it till summer. You know, or you know, you get something, say, like, I was kind of contemplating, I said, a snowblower would be neat. But I said, you know what, if I get a snowblower, it won't snow for 5 years. And that thing, so I didn't get one. But, you know, sometimes you can't use it right. But, you know, you're talking about something that you can, you know, and you can keep using it and keep using it and keep, you know, because you'll never exhaust the gift that God gave. There's joy, joy everlasting. Talk about that last night, you know, the presents. We get presents and they bring us happiness, you know, of a sense. We're happy with them in there for a while. But you wait down the road. 5 years from now, most of us won't remember most of what we got this Christmas. You know, it'd be broke, gone. And you think all the way back, we don't have the Christmas gifts, maybe most of them that we got over the years. But, you know, this present brings happiness, you know, for or joy, you know, forever. It's not going to get old. It's not going to get out of style. It's not going to break. It's not going to become useless. This is a happiness that lasts forever. Love, joy, hope, all these things we can experience now. That's another thing. You know, a lot of people think that what we have with God, everything is like that old illustration they used back in the 60s or 70s with the hippies, you know, the pie in the sky philosophy. You know, it's not, there's pie here. You know, we can experience, listen, hope, joy, love. The next one's coming up, peace. We can experience that now, you know, in this life now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have that. So this is something that we can enjoy even today, what God has given us. And then the next one is peace. And you can have that too. Listen, it doesn't mean we don't live in a world that's got some turmoil in it and some pain and sorrow and suffering and death and all that. But peace, this means this way, what God's talking about. It's an inner contentment, knowing that we have a right relationship with God. Knowing that no matter what, the circumstances won't dictate that we have a right relationship with God. Doesn't mean there won't be some sad times, some sorrowful times, some painful times and all that. But down inside, that satisfaction that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. Boy, that's the kind of peace. Peace knowing that God's in control. Man, that's a good thing. All the things, everybody worries and sweats and frets. I see Christians doing this. A lot of times they worry about the political scene. They're worrying about, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned about it. But man, these people are ate up with it. I mean, that's all they talk about. When you see them coming, you know they're going to talk about politics. They're going to talk about the economy. You know, all that. They worry, because they're worried about it. Man, they're just worried about it. I mean, I get concerned about it. And I can't say it doesn't aggravate me sometimes. But you know what? I just know this. God's in control. That gives me a little bit. Sometimes you say when there's nothing else we can do, God's in control. And you know, another thing, I was studying this, and I could probably preach a whole message on this point here. The fact that those angels came to the shepherds, and there's other verses that we study in the Bible, Hebrews in particular, that we have, this is something that you might not think about much. We have a ministering angel and or angels that watch over us. Amen. That God is, all the believers, all the people that God knew would get saved, we have had a ministering angel that has watched over us from the day we were born, physically, and even today. Man, you say, well, I'd like to see that. I wonder, I don't know how, I'm just speculating. I don't know when we get to heaven, God's going to say, oh, there, by the way, here's your ministering angel. Maybe. Why not? We got an angel watching over us somehow. Man, that's an encouragement. In a way, it should be an encouragement to you to do right, shouldn't it? Should be an encouragement, because if you're doing wrong, guess what? The angel knows as well. But what a gift, man, that God has given us an angel to watch over us. I didn't do a big study on that for this message here, but if you can study that and see that that's true. And we probably don't fully, and probably can't fully understand that in a finite mind that we had. We won't understand that totally. But that God has done that for us. I don't know that we'll know it all. And then we have God's Word, that instruction book I was telling you about. I told this one thing I got for Christmas, it had this little quick instruction book. And I couldn't find the other book at first. I was looking around, I thought, good grief. I said, surely they got to have more instructions than this. I said, because this isn't telling me nothing. It was just pictures. And I couldn't make heads or tails out of a lot of it. I said, got to be more than that. Did it, you know, thankfully. Got over there in the wrap and there it was. I said, great, man, I can get in here and read something. You wouldn't find out. God gave us His Word. That explains the gift and explains how the gift works. But once again, you have to read those instructions. And because of those, like those technical gadgets, there may be some parts of the gift that we're not using. Maybe we're not using everything that I don't know about you, but if I got something, I want to know how all it works and what all it'll do. And if I can, I want to use everything that it has, you know. I don't want to be sitting there in the dark using one thing and got 10 things that you could use and you don't even know anything about it. And that can apply to all kind of gadgets in your kitchen, ladies and men, tools or whatever you got. You want to be able to do whatever it'll do, right? The Word of God. What God can do for us, what He does do for us, what He has done for us. It's all in the Word of God, but we have to read that. We have to understand it. And it guides us through every part of life, every trial, every storm. You know what I find sometimes with instructions in the secular world when you read it? Some company, they don't know how to write instructions. You ever get that one? They like leave this one and finally somehow you figure it out way back. Because I'm one of these, I follow the instructions to a T. If I'm going down the road and you say, you go down and turn right, the next right. If it's a dirt road, I'm turning on it. You said the next right. And then you get lost and then you get back with, oh, I didn't mean a dirt road. I just meant the next paved, but you didn't say the next paved road. You said the next right. I'm turning to see. So some people don't know how to give you the instructions. And some of them things, they leave some vital things. Oh, well, if you'd have told me that, it had. But I'll tell you what, God didn't leave nothing out. Everything's right here in the Word of God for life. How to be a Christian, how to be a church member, how to be a husband, how to be a wife, how to be a child, how to be an employer, how to be an employee, how to be a governor or a king, you name it. God covered all the bases, covered everything. In the Word of God, didn't leave nothing out. Man, this is great. So, you know, there's no missing instructions that He has. That, you know, how to go through every trial, how to go through every storm, how to deal with every doubt, how to answer all the questions that we have. God has it in His Word. God gave us His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh, dwelt among men. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The gift, man, it's in the Word. Amen. And then here's a good one. He gave us His Holy Spirit. Now, you talking about part of a gift that we don't utilize enough like we should, that God gave us His Holy Spirit. You know, I've been preaching on this along these lines sort of. More often, I think, the older I get, maybe, and here lately even too. And you look back at the Old Testament prophets, and I'm not saying God's going to do anything the exact same way like He did. Well, I don't know that we're going to call fire down from heaven like Elijah did or that. But you know what? The same Spirit that empowered Samson and Elijah, all the prophets and all the people God used, it's the same Holy Spirit today.
Huh?
It's the same Holy Spirit. Listen, man, we can get the victory. I mean, we can get the victory. I see so many Christians, they say, well, you know, I just can't. I can't. Listen, man, what are you talking about? You can't. No, you can't in your strength, but in the strength of God, empowered with the Holy Spirit, man, I can't. My strength call fire down out of heaven either. But if God wanted me to, through His Spirit, He could do it. You know, so what there's no I can'ts with God if God wants us to do it, man. But if you can't, then you're not utilizing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So you got a gadget here. It's not really a gadget. That's not a good name to put on the Holy Spirit, but I'm trying to make it blend in with the rest of the message. You got something here that you're not using to your advantage and to its fullness that you could in your life, man. And so think about it. God, this is another thing that you can contemplate. God Himself, if you're saved, dwells in your heart through His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I mean, the Creator of the universe, God who spoke the world into existence, that conquered death. I mean, He healed the lame, the sick, the blind, the lepers, you name it. I mean, this very God dwells in our heart. And I know man, nobody can say, well, you know, preacher, I fully understand. I don't know that we fully understand. If we fully understood it, we would fully utilize it, you know, to God's advantage, not so much ours, but in God's plan of things. But that same God, it's even another mind-blowing thing that God would want to dwell in our hearts. Because, man, I'll tell you one thing, I've taken God to some bad places, mentally and physically. Some bad places, you know, after I got saved. And so He dwells in our hearts because of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died, rose again, sent His Spirit. Listen, you're not going to get a gift. We're not going to get a gift from any Christmas on and compile them all together at once. It's going to top the giving of the Holy Spirit that God gave us, giving of His Son even as well. It's a resource, man. It's a power. Do we fully understand it? No, but I think we can use that power more than we do. a lot of times. Use that power. Power over sin. Power to serve God. Power to walk in victory in this world. And it's the filling of the Holy Spirit that actually puts the love, the joy, the peace, the hope, all those other parts of the gift, that's what puts it in our heart. It's the Holy Spirit Himself puts those things in our hearts. Maybe like the Grinch found out, maybe we find out there's more to Christmas than we think, or more to Christmas than we know. We just have to open the gift, read the instructions, and you know, ask God to help us understand everything that He has given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning, and thank You for all those that are here today to worship You. And Lord, seeing the need to put You first, and we had so much fun and excitement and joy yesterday and today, and fellowship, Lord, and we certainly want to fellowship with You and just understand that gift You've given us so long ago more and more each day. And Lord, help us to do that this Christmas and every Christmas. Lord, help us to show Your love to others. Pray that You would love others through us. And Lord, that they'll be able to have Your love shed abroad in their hearts as well. Thank You so much for saving me and loving me. And I just pray if anyone here today is not sure that they've received the gift You gave, maybe doesn't even understand the gift totally, Lord, that You'll deal with their hearts this morning. We'll ask it all and thank You for it all in Jesus' name.